When I was with my Eastern Orthodox buddy this past summer, and as we went to some Orthodox services together, I didn't recognize a word that I kept hearing in the liturgy and in the worship services that we participated in and attended. And the word was Theotokos. And they kept on praising the Theotokos. They kept on celebrating the Theotokos. They would pray to the Theotokos. And of course, I was in this service, and I didn't know what they were talking about. So I leaned over to my buddy, and I said, what are they talking about? You know, what's this Theotokos? And he says, well, that's what we call Mary, the Mother of God. Theotokos, that's a Greek word. It's, you know, that first part is theos. That's where we get God. That means God. And then tokos means to bring forth or to bear. And so Theotokos means the God-bearer or the one who brought forth God. And that would, of course, would be Mary. And I didn't realize that our Orthodox friends kind of participated and worshiped in that way by venerating Mary. Sounds something that our Catholic friends also do. I know some of you have Catholic roots. And so maybe that jogs a memory of your time in Catholic catechism or something like that, you know, when you were a youngster. Maybe you can still remember by heart, you know, the Hail Mary. You could quote that to me right now, you know. And I'm, you know, if you're a non-Catholic like me, growing up as a good old Baptist boy, Hail Mary, I'm thinking, what does Aaron Rodgers' touchdowns at the end of a football game have to do with Jesus and Mary? I just, you know, clueless. I didn't know. And so where does this come from? You know, why do some in the Christian church and communities feel so strongly about Mary? Why do they go so far as to venerate her? Venerate is a word that means to greatly revere, to greatly respect. It's kind of like a step down from worship. And so, you know, God alone is worthy of our worship, and so we can't worship Mary, but we can venerate her. That's the argument, and even though venerate and worship seem to be very similar to each other. We studied this a while back, actually, when we started our study in the Gospel of Luke. That was a while ago, though, so let me just quickly refresh your memory. After Mary is told that she will be the God-bearer, that she will give birth to the Son of God, she sings a song of praise. And in that song, in Luke chapter 1, she says in verse 48, she says, "For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed." Just a few short verses before that, Elizabeth, Mary's relative, looks at her and she says, "Blessed are you among women." And indeed, she has been blessed among women. Christians all over the world from the very beginning of the church have considered Mary the most blessed woman to have ever lived. And it is true that she is blessed. She is a blessed woman. She is deserving our respect and admiration from all those who follow Christ. Mary found favor with God and was an incredibly important instrument in the saving work of the Lord Jesus. And so we should happily agree with Luke chapter 1 that Mary is an important person in the redemptive plan of God. I don't think we have to go so far as our Orthodox or Catholic friends, but we can show our appreciation of her. Now I share this because of our passage this morning. The passage we're about to read, and what we're going to read makes me really happy and content that I do not hold those more lofty, and I would say even faulty views of Mary. And it also gives us a sense of bearing. Our passage today gives us a sense of bearing about how to navigate in this world full of challenges so that we can stand strong. So if you have a Bible, grab your Bible with me and turn to Luke 11. Luke 11 is our passage this morning. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles in the seats near you. Don't be bashful. Grab it and pull it out. We're going to read just two verses this morning. Luke 11, 27 and 28. So here's what we read in the Gospel of Luke. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the woman that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." It's not terribly hard for me to imagine this scene. Remember, Jesus is one of them. This is where Jesus is from. You know, he's from this area. He's one of these people. And I'm guessing he has some familiarity here with the crowds that he goes and he ministers in. And so there's a sense of pride and joy that these people have and what they see in Jesus. And of course, they're so appreciative of the help that he provides. It reminds me of Corby and I have talked a little bit about this, how we not only take a sense of pride and joy in our own boys, but we also have a sense of pride and joy in those friends that they have grown up with too. You know, because they almost feel like our boys. I mean, they're not, but I mean, we remember those boys when they're in kindergarten and going to birthday parties and watching them grow and play sports together or play music together, whatever it might be. And so there's almost this sense of, they're kind of like ours, but they're not, you know? And so here we have this woman. She looks on, and I'm sure she's pleased with what she sees. She's so thankful for the help that Jesus is providing. And she's thinking, man, if I was his mother, I'd be so proud. I'm so happy. And so she just raises her voice in the midst of the crowd and gives this shout, "Blessed is the woman who bore you." How your mom must be so proud. And I'm sure Mary was. But Jesus' response is actually quite startling. You know, he doesn't say, "Yeah, she sure is, isn't she?" Or he doesn't just give a polite thank you. Jesus actually corrects this woman. He actually gives her this kind of gentle rebuke. And it's not even that she said something terribly wrong. I mean, Mary is a blessed woman. But Jesus catches something about her, that she's very misguided about the ways of the kingdom. She's not conformed to his kingdom way. So get what Jesus is saying here, and I'm paraphrasing here a bit. He's saying, no, wait. Don't think that my mother is blessed. Instead, blessed is the person who hears and keeps my word. You know, Jesus is really trying to make a strong contrast here. There is not one contrasting word in verse 28. There's two contrasting words. Luke says, "But Jesus said," so he's like, wait a minute, Jesus is correcting, and then Jesus' own words, he says, "On the contrary, rather, blessed rather is the person who hears and keeps my words." It's almost like this woman's ideas jolt Jesus' conscience. He's almost somewhat shocked that someone would think that's why someone's blessed. Like, true blessing from God does not come through family association. True blessing of God is not because of some past mission or some past assignment from the Lord. God's favor and kindness isn't based on some history we have with completing a task that God has given to us. And remember, he's talking about his very own mother, the Theotokos, the God-bearer, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Jesus looks at her and says, no, that is not the one who's blessed. And so maybe if I can just conclude here, this little teaching about Mary to get onto our main point of the sermon. Yes, Mary is a blessed woman, and she is due our admiration and appreciation. We should want to be like Mary. We should want to be like her. She's submissive to God's will. She's faithful to the call that God has given to her. How wonderful it would be for us to be like that. We do not need to denigrate the mother of our Lord because some of our friends are in the Christian community wrongly view her certain ways. But listen to what Jesus is doing right now. Jesus himself is directing people away from venerating Mary, away from putting her on a pedestal. If Jesus had any time, any moment to lift up his mother and say, yep, she's the one, it'd be this moment. And he says, no, don't look at her. Don't consider her the blessed one. Consider the blessed one those who hear and keep the word of God. It's as plain as the day is long, isn't it, First Baptist? Look what Jesus' words say in verse 28. Look at verse 28. This would be one of those great passages to put a star by or underline. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and keep it. In one respect, Jesus is just repeating what he already knows from the Old Testament. When I was preparing this passage, Psalm 1 just immediately came to my brain, which reads this way, blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Blessed, same word. Now, we don't know this, of course, but it wouldn't surprise me in the least if Psalm chapter 1 was on Jesus' brain when he shared this word in Luke chapter 11. And so there are three angles from this passage that I want to highlight for you to motivate you, to encourage you, to place the word of God in the center of your life as you seek God and to pursue his way, as you look to stand strong in the midst of turbulent times. And so the first thing I want to draw your attention to is the centrality and the necessity of the word of God to live a blessed life. You know, there are so many other things that Jesus could have said. There's so many other things Jesus could have put at the center. You know, taking the Lord's Supper, baptism, worshiping through song, or attending church services. All of those things are important and necessary steps of faith that we need to participate in. But Jesus says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And so why did Jesus say the blessed life is based on that? Why not these others? Why is the primacy the word of God and not baptism, not the Lord's Supper, not giving to the poor? Two things came to my mind as I thought about that question. First of all, friends, the word of God is what gives shape to all of those other activities in our life of faith. And so think about these questions. Why do we take communion? And how should we do it? And how often? And when do we gather as a church community? And what should we do when we're together? And what is the point of giving? And what should be our relationships be like, especially those important ones like husband and wife and parent and child, brother and sister in Christ? Well, friends, the Word of God is what gives form and shape to all of those practices. We get the answers to those questions that I just posed to you from the Word of God. It's one of the reasons why I think the Word of God is so important. There are many, many things for all of us to live an encouraged, blessed life by God. And we get the answers and the direction to those questions from the Word. We have to privilege the Word of God. Here's another. The Word of God is truth. The word of God is truth. In Jesus' famous prayer in John chapter 17, he emphatically says in verse 17, he says, sanctify them, perfect them, mature them, complete them. That's what sanctify means. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus' hope and prayer to God the Father in this prayer was that his people, you and me, and all of his church would reach the ultimate goal of our salvation, a fully restored and reconciled relationship with God as the result of his sanctifying work in our life through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the mechanism, Jesus is saying, the instrument that God uses to make that happen is truth. You cannot be sanctified without truth. And Jesus says, your word is truth. Friends, in a world full of lies, where it's so hard to know what's true and who's telling the truth, knowing that there's one place you can always go and have complete confidence that you'll never be led astray is the word of God. What a wonderful gift. What a blessing. Now, notice how Jesus says that the blessed man or woman is the one who both hears and keeps the word of God. So let's talk about both of that, hearing God's word and keeping it. And I'll start by saying this. Let's try not to take for granted the fact of how wonderful it is to hear the word of God. I say don't take it for granted because I think I'm tempted to take it for granted. Because we have such accessibility to the Word of God here. I mean, if you have been coming to First Baptist for any length of time, you regularly hear the Word of God preached. And I know many of you participate in of the many of Bible studies that we do here and for our children with their Sunday school classes in the youth group. And I know you have Bibles at home, many of them. You know, maybe more than one per family member. And that you can read your Bible at any time. Like, we hear God's word a lot if we participate in this church community. And that's a priceless gift. So don't take that for granted, friends. Right now, all over the world, there are peoples and places who have never heard the word of God once in their entire life. They have no knowledge of Jesus. They've never been told the glories of his grace. So we're so passionate and care so much about world missions here at First Baptist because we want more people to hear the word of the Lord. And just a few weeks ago, we had Carla Unseth here. She's a new missionary that we're supporting, and she's working in Bible translations. And she told us that a little less than 2,000 people groups around the world do not have the word of God in their own language. And I don't even press that even further, friends. Even right now, in our own backyards, our own neighbors, our own coworkers, our own classmates, many of them have never truly heard the word of God. Now, they heard about Jesus. They might even know a story or two they've caught through Christmas times or Easter celebrations or whatever it might be, but they've never really sat down and had someone share with them and explain to them John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. They don't know that word. God loves the world. He loves you. He showed that by giving his only Son to die on a cross for your sins, because you are guilty for those sins. And if you believe in him, you won't perish, but instead you'll have eternal life. And the reason for that is because God didn't send Jesus to condemn you in your guilt. He came to save you from your guilt. What a gift to hear the word of God. What a treasure to know this truth. Friends, how blessed we are to have such accessibility to the word of God. We know from the scriptures that miracles happen upon the presentation of the word, upon hearing the word. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That's one thing we all have in common. If we have saving faith in Jesus, We have that saving faith because we heard. We heard the word of the Lord. How blessed are we who hear. So don't take that for granted. But Jesus keeps on going and says, blessed are those who hear and keep it. And that's probably where we should spend more of our time, to be honest with you, because the accessibility is so close to us. Do we keep it? Do we obey it? You know, there's actually quite a bit in the scriptures about the importance, in fact, the necessity of obeying God's word. So I just want you to consider following things that I found in the scriptures that say about us who hear, if we hear, but we don't keep the word of God. Scriptures say you are deceiving yourself if you do not keep God's word. You are deceiving yourself. The scriptures say you have a dead faith if you do not obey God's word. You don't fear God if you do not obey God's word. You're disobedient to God if you do not keep his words. We show ourselves to be liars and fools when we do not keep God's word. I'd encourage you sometime, go and look up those references and see where I'm coming up with these conclusions. And so, friends, you know, can I ask you, does this describe who you are and what you're like? Are you self-deceived? Do you have a dead faith? Do you not have any fear of God before your eyes? That's one of the ways Romans chapter 3 describes the wicked. They have no fear of God before their eyes. Are you a disobedient servant? Are you a hypocrite? Obviously, none of us want to be those things. And maybe we even hear that and we're like, well, don't call me that, Pastor. Well, I'm not calling you that. I'm just telling you that's what God's word says we are when we don't keep his words. Is it wrong for me to say, it doesn't matter what we say, my good friends. It only matters what we do in faith. Might sound a little off, but isn't that exactly what James tells us in James chapter 2? Show me your faith apart from works. I will show you my faith by my works. That's the point he's driving home. That true, authentic faith, which is the only thing that saves you, is displayed and shown, proven by your obedience to it. Now remember, you are not saved by your obedience. You are only saved by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And your faith and trust that what he has done for you on that cross is sufficient for you. But you demonstrate, you validate the faith that you have by your obedience to the word of God. And knowing that distinction, my good brothers and sisters, is probably one of the most important distinctions you can make in all of life. So important. I'm wondering how many of you are not experiencing the blessing of God because you are not keeping his words. And you kind of know it. Like, you can perceive it. You're looking at your life and you're thinking things are not well. My relationships are strained. My faith is dry. I'm angry all the time. Got no hope. I have no joy. The last thing you would say about your life is that it's blessed. Well, can I ask you, are you keeping the word of God? Are you obeying his word? Because the favor of God, the blessing of God, is directly connected, friends. It's directly linked to your adherence to his words. Now, when you hear the blessed life, friends, you know this, but I'll just say it again just to make sure. Don't hear easy, comfortable living. A lot of creature comforts. Everything in life working out perfectly. That is not the blessed life. The blessed life is the grace and mercy of God for your sins. It's abiding joy in God while depressing circumstances are all around you. It's peace in turbulent times. It's character transformation to do the right thing when you're so tempted to do the wrong thing. And friends, so many of us don't have that. We're not experiencing God's blessing because we're not keeping God's words. And yet, we're scratching our heads. We're scratching our heads wondering, like, what's wrong? Why isn't this working? Why isn't this faith thing paying off? I'll be honest with you, my good brothers and sisters, it's not a mystery. God is telling you right here, you're not experiencing the blessed life because you're not keeping the word of the Lord. And friends, I say these things to help you. I say these things to be an instrument of God, to wake you and I up to this important reality. I say these things to call you back home. And you know what you will find when you come home to God? You will find a Father in heaven with his arms open wide, welcoming you back home. He's not looking to hurt you. He's looking to help you. He wants to give you forgiveness of sins. He wants to keep changing you so that your life is in conformity to his words. That's what's so great about God's message. It always ends in good news. And maybe you're feeling the conviction of that this morning. You know, maybe you're looking around and you see what you're missing and you know why. I'm not keeping the word of the Lord. The Lord tells me I should do this in my marriage. The Lord tells me I should do this with my time. The Lord tells me I should do this with my money. I should do all these things, and I'm not doing it. Well, then you're not going to live the blessed life, because the blessed life is directly connected to hearing and keeping the word of the Lord. And so you're hearing this, and you're feeling convicted by this, and you're like, okay, what should I do? Well, you should turn. Turn back to the Lord. Repent back to God. How do you do that? Well, how about you just start doing this? Start keeping his word. In faith. In faith. We don't keep his word to make God happy. We keep God's word because we know he is happy with us in Christ, and he is our God, and we want to follow him. Again, knowing that difference, friends, is so critically important. God is not looking for us to perform for him. He has performed for us in Christ. And the mark, the sign of authentic faith is the recognition that that's true in our obedience to his will and word. So important. Here's a verse that you could apply today. Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. What would it look like to be a keeper of that word? Well, stop hiding your sin. Stop concealing it. Instead, confess it, meaning admit it. And then forsake it, means turn away from it. And you know what you'll get? You'll get mercy. You'll get the blessing of God. And friends, that might just be one of the both scariest verses in the world, but one of the most encouraging ones too. And we're happy to help you be a keeper of that word, of that verse. So don't be bashful to ask for help for all of this, but that one in particular. We want to help you on the road to life. And the road to life is one that keeps on turning to God, confessing our sins, forsaking them, rather than concealing them and hiding them. We want to help you with that. Friends, this is God's word for us today. He's calling us home. Rejoice in hearing it, but then also ask for his help to keep it. Why don't you stand with me as we close in prayer? We're happy to pray with you before you go today. Don't miss out on doing business with God if he's working on your heart and life this morning.